A tall, handsome ranger rode into town with fire in his eyes burning red as sundown. His boots were all dusty, his coat opened wide. Six ways of dying hung low on his side. Town hall asking for me, they told him that I was still town deputy. I sent him to prison to pay for his crime. He killed a guard on the Santa Fe line. He spread word around town that my time had come. My notch was already carved on his gun. He's laughing and bragging and having his fun. It's all a show.
All right, we see him in debate, Nick Fuentes, but I agree with most of what he says, so it just becomes an analysis program. But he's really pissed off about a lot of stuff that's going on. He's fired up. I agree with him. And we're going to talk about geopolitics. We're going to talk about low IQ, anti-Semitism, and, you know, things like that that are really, really important. We're talking about Candace Owens as well. And I don't have a hard-on for Candace Owens. I just, when she was putting out stuff that was verifiably not true, listeners asked me to research it. I said, this Mitch Snow guy's a fraud. When I proved it, people said, you're a liar. You work for Israel. It's just retarded. And then he said, I'm the son of the Zodiac killer and everything else. And next, he's going to be Santa Claus. And there's just attacks on Trump and TPUSA that are obviously Democrat Party stuff. And I'm all about going after Trump when he needs to be gone after. I just know concerted crap when I see it. And I'm not stupid. And I'd not been focused on Candace, quite frankly. I never watched her show. I saw clips of her and stuff and known her since she showed up on the scene and liked her. And a lot of listeners said, hey, man, you never infight. What are you doing? And a lot of it is, I'm a very serious person when it comes to when I talk about it. I really believe what I say. And when I looked at what she was doing and then the response to me saying she was, you know, wrong, I said, I think you're being lied to. I think you've been set up. Was her and her surrogate saying, oh, I'm obviously, you know, with them and got the call and got my $7,000 check from Netanyahu. It pissed me off. And I said, I'm right about this Mitch Snow. And we already had evidence he was a fraud. Then it just came out in complete triplicate. And she and her surrogates doubled down. Said, we don't care how discredible he is, uncredible he is in life. Prove you weren't at Fort Huachuca. So it's all about you've got to prove it. And when they did, that wasn't good enough. So I don't want to spend a bunch of time on her, but that'll be part of the next 2 hours or hour and 55 minutes with Nick Fuentes. He's connecting right now. And again, that's a side issue. I'm not going to spend much time on her. The bigger issue is it is now popular and safe to criticize Israel. And I think that's a good thing because you should be able to criticize anybody you want. But when it becomes something that people that aren't informed throw around as a way to try to control the liberty movement, and it's weaponized against people that are on record telling the truth, then it's a bad thing. So it also has to be understood that, again, anytime I'm like, this real example a month ago, Chernobyl got hit by a missile and, you know, it was leaking and stuff in Ukraine. And I literally did a report on it. And half the comments were, why are you coming up for Israel? Folks, there are other issues other than Israel. It doesn't mean we don't talk about Israel when Israel's involved in doing something. I just had Syrian girl on for 40 minutes criticizing Israel and what's going on in Iran because they are involved in it and trying to get a full war going. Doesn't mean I support the mullahs either. I'd be glad if they were gone, but not on Israel's terms. So I don't have to prove myself to all these people, though, that, you know, that I don't work for Israel and all this crap. And people go, God, why is he criticizing Israel? Well, he's trying to prove himself to us. I'm not proving it. I'm not talking about the listeners in general. I'm talking about these people that want to go, oh, Nick Fuentes works for Israel. Give me a break, people. Or Tucker Carlson does, or, you know, any of this crap. The point is that it's safe to talk about Israel now. And into that now have come a bunch of grifters. Now that it's okay and safe, now they're going to tell everybody how the cow ate the cabbage. And that's just not the case. Nick Fuentes was doing this when he was 18 years old and losing his media job over it. He did it when it was hard and not safe. We'll be right back. I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot. and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night. To quote Waylon Jennings.
Tall, handsome stranger rode into town with fire in his eyes burning red as sundown. His boots were all dusty, his coat opened wide, six ways of dying hung low on his side. He went in the town hall asking for me. They told him that I was still town deputy. I sent him to prison to pay for his crime. He killed a guard on the Santa Fe line. He spread word around.
Well, Nick Fuentes is ready to take out the garbage. That means go after the fakes, the frauds, the grifters that are trying to infest America first. I agree with him. We're going to do that today, study geopolitics, get into so much more in the next hour and 50 minutes or so that we have on this live Thursday, January 15th, global transmission. But first, ladies and gentlemen, they have awoken the terrible giant. That's bigger than Trump. That's bigger than me. We're talking about all of us together. And make no mistake, the globalist trance of control, Israel's trance of guilt and control over us, the left's trance of control, the Islamists, all the old trances of political correctness, the spell has been broken. But now the discussion is, what is the new world we're about to build together? They have awoken the terrible giant. We are the number one hated and attacked media organization in the world by every evil, disgusting, sickening organization on the face of the planet. And I'm going to say it. If you're going to go as big as you can. That's why John Hancock literally saw people signing their names, little bitty, and people he knew signed them. You really couldn't tell who they were. And I get it. Every person signing that was signing their potential death warrant. He got up there and went, boom. And he said, if I'm going to have the king coming after me, I want him to come after me, number one.
That's a pretty large signature, Johnny.
Yeah, and I'm going to risk my life fighting tyranny. Anybody that's ever been in fights, you're not looking for fights, but you've been in a few. You learn, you hesitate when somebody's trying to beat the hell out of you. You're going to get your ass kicked. But you just decide to beat the living hell out of them and stop worrying about who's winning. And you're going to win almost every time unless you're fighting Mike Tyson. I know people will knock you upside the head really hard and like sit back and look at what it did. Or somebody will hit you in the side of the head with a baseball bat, then they'll kind of sit back and watch to see what it did. I'm like a Terminator. You're about to find out.
I'll shove that bat up your ass and turn you into a popsicle.
So that's what's going on here. And I love it because we're drawing their fire. We've exposed them. We've drawn them out of their rat holes. To do all of this, the Soros scum and the Soros DA, and just all of them, they're filth. They're disgusting tyrants. Just like judges in Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia. They're disgusting. And it's like we're in the dark and they got night vision. We're in a pitch black arena with no light and they've got their illuminators on and they can see us and we can't see them. Well, guess what? I walked over with my listeners collectively and pulled the switch and turned the lights on.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock. They've declared war on us, and we accept the challenge. We're taking the country back.
Their attacks on Trump, their lawfare, their all the criminal activity. How'd that work out for them? They were dumb enough to brag. Remember, everywhere. It'll be over for Trump when this mugshot comes out in Georgia. We're finally getting it. Every channel, remember? It's the end, the mugshot, the mugshot, the mugshot. And then Trump nails it with a beyond Clint Eastwood, badass American Eagle gaze of total defiance that everybody looks at and knows deep down, that's the alpha male, that's the badass, that's the defiant real person. You can't fake that look. And then when they shot him, you got even more of that look, except the lips pulled down and the teeth bared and the eyes bugging out. Yes, yes, we get to see who's really who at times like this, don't we? And now the bad guys are going to find out who's really who, aren't you? Because the veneer of civilization is burning off. And all the posers and all the thugs and all the bullies who thought they had this country on its knees and cowed are now just beginning to understand that they have awoken the terrible giant! Real leadership, the essence of leadership, is showing people how it's done so that they understand it's the right way and getting them to adopt it. And being a leader means you go against the tide when the tide is wrong. You go against the crowd when the crowd is wrong. You go against the establishment when the establishment is degenerate and sick. And then by example and by competence and by will and by strength, then the timid join you. Because then it costs nothing to be a patriot, to quote the great Mark Twain. In the beginning, the patriot is a scarce man, hated, feared, and scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. The patriot is a scarce man, hated, feared, scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And when you commit to something worthy and good, it is not a weight. It is everything. It is your greatest strength. It becomes your soul to risk your life for freedom. It's what God forged you in his mind as he created your soul before he even put you in your mother's womb. He knew you. Been Nick Fuentes for at least 9-10 years, and I do not apologize for having him on. That said, I disagree with some of the things he said or his direction on things, but I will always be clear. You can't have the Democratic Party and the left all over the world, Islamists and the leftist Jewish groups and Hollywood literally saying Christians and Catholics are inherently bad. White men are bad. White should be eradicated. New York Times. Whiteness is a disease. Whiteness is a cancer. I can show you, you've seen it, hour-long compilations of the news saying it. So they're the ones that have created this incredible anti-Western, anti-Christian garbage. And so what do you expect people to do? So then you have somebody like Nick, conservative, you know, on record when he's 12, involved in politics, doing stuff at the national level by the time he's 18 because he's successful and smart, gets fired by the Ben Shapiro folks because he asked questions. They try to destroy him, and he's instantly even more successful over the last 8 years of incredible persecution. So I've gone through a lot of the same stuff he has, and I've been successful when I was very young as well, but not as young as him. I mean, I was on air when I was 20 and big by 25 or so, but not as, you know, and it's not about who's big or whatever. It's a phenomenon, and it's because Nick is charismatic. He is smart, and he knows what he's talking about. And so when other people that are informed, whether they're liberals or conservatives, they know, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. He can debate Heritage Foundation top people. He can debate, top people from the Hoover Institute, you name it, and wipe the floor with them because he knows the facts up one side and down the other. And I respect that because I do constant research, and I learn a lot from Nick Fuentes. So where we're at here is you can overall say, well, I don't, go as far as he does. And I get it. He has fun. He admits it. He laughs and says, sorry. They don't show that. I do the same thing. He does the edgelording. It's entertaining. He's up late at night. And they take it out of context. That's fine. Because we need to stop being guilty. We need to stop sitting here and pulling our punches and say what we really think. especially when the opposition to us is 100 times more racist and hateful than we are. And the great news is black folks, particularly, and Hispanics are seeing through this. When I go out in public, and it's every day, I get mobbed always. But I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it. Usually, oh, Joe Rogan or, you know, something like that. This is all Nick Fuentes, Nick Fuentes, Nick Fuentes, Nick Fuentes. I walked into an Italian restaurant a few days ago to pick up food to take home. And it's a nice place, all full of people. And I'm walking in, and these two young Hispanic, very attractive young women come out. And, you know, upper class style, you know, super, you know, designer clothes. We're like, oh, Alex, we love your show. We're listening to it today. Oh, did you see next time we talk to Nick, tell him we love him and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I walk in. I'm sitting there waiting to get my food at the counter. Hey, Alex, love the show, blah, blah, blah. When are you having Nick Fuentes back on? I'm like, this is like five, this is like 10 seconds later. I'm like, all right, all right. Other people, hey, like the show, blah, blah, hey, take a picture, all right, get my stuff. Women behind the counter give me the food. Hey, we love the show. We love what you're doing. I'm walking in the parking lot. People stop me. They're taking pictures. Hey, when are you going to be on Joe Rogan again? I don't know. Well, hey, you know, we love it when you have Nick Fuentes on. By the way, what's wrong with Candace Owens? So, I mean, that's one story. True. Okay? So you talk about zeitgeist. What does that say? If you can spend all your time trying to demonize a guy that's 26 now, and his trajectory of getting better and better, because he was eloquent and well-spoken when I first met him and saw him. Like, yeah, he's got potential. It just shows how discredited the system is and how scared they are. So there's a fight between the Israel First, Ben Shapiro lobby to try to control the Republican Party. You see the epicenter of that, TPUSA. And then you've got other people posing like they're Nick Fuentes, and, you know, the America First movement and myself that exposed the whole globalist program so people can make their decisions and wake up. They want to come in and muscle in and then say, oh, Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes, they're not real. They're Israelis. And then add a bunch of fiction and hype and real conspiracy theories to the brew to get a bunch of low IQ people under their control. We believe in humanity. I'm going to just put the truth out. Build it, they will come. But we have to also address the powerful movements and groups trying to come in and sabotage the organic thing that's happening. But the good news is you're not going to stop it. So that's my preface. I'm going to shut up and go to Nick. I want to get into the geopolitics. I want to get into Trump. I want to get into all this. But it really is important that we also understand that the way the globalists are going to sabotage this nationalist, populist, Christian movement is infiltrating their people, posing as us, doing outrageous stuff, saying things that aren't true, organizing a bunch of dumb people that will then say a bunch of ridiculous, disprovable stuff to discredit. And that is definitely what's going on. You can ask, is it conscious by these key people or not? I don't know. But we now understand where we are and where this is going. But people forget that Candace Owens' fight with TPUSA, say what you want, got Trump elected, got millions of young people registered that the left hates and fears and has the motive to kill. They said they'd kill him. They celebrated he died. We're not supposed to look at it. It was Nick Fuentes being kicked out of those events that triggered the revolution in TPUSA that forced Kirk to wake up and say, yeah, we're not going to sit there and ostracize these people. We can't even win that fight. Then Israel lobby came in and did threaten him. Then he did begin to stand up to them. But that was Nick Fuentes and the Groypers on record. A 9-year fight. Then you have these interlopers. You then have these pretenders to the throne of doing this coming in and trying to remove him from his house and say it's theirs. That is what we're talking about here. And that's the sleight of hand. And it's not about Nick being the big guy or me being the big guy. It's about the integrity of it. To win this fight, they need to remove us from intellectual leadership roles so they can sabotage it. This is about infighting. This is about we're under attack at every level. We've not really addressed it until now. It's got to be done. So, Nick, that's my rant. I apologize for making you hold for 10 minutes while I hit it. We might need to start there, then into geopolitics, everything. In fact, let's just – I said, where do you want to go first? You said, wherever you want. Let's go into this big picture. It's a lot. I'm going to try to shut up. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for the great introduction. And I think you're totally right. This is kind of the most salient thing which is happening on the right wing, you know, over the past couple of years. Ever since October 7th, of course, everybody is talking about there is this great awakening or a raising of the consciousness with regard to the issue of Israeli influence. And this is something that for a long time, this is perhaps why it's so significant, for a long time, this issue was totally taboo. It was actually borderline illegal And as you know, and as other people know on the right wing, there was literally no room at all for any skepticism, any criticism of any kind on this position. Everything was categorized as hateful, anti-Semitic, and it would get you removed from your job, ostracized. You were just not allowed inside the movement. And so what happened after October 7th, in addition to some of the free speech on the internet, Elon Musk acquiring Twitter, some liberalization of the terms of service on other platforms like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, is that people started to ask questions. Why are we supporting this country? Why are we giving them all this foreign aid? Why are we fighting their wars? Among other things, a lot of legitimate questions. And I think you and I talked about this a lot, and other people did too. Question is, where does the Israel lobby go from here when it seems that everybody is hip? Everybody is now wise to their game. And it is, like you said, this is the zeitgeist. And it's not about me and it's not about you as personalities. It's about the issues. It's about the substance. And these ideas have penetrated the mainstream discourse and they have entered into the zeitgeist. And now it's people of all ages from everywhere in the country, all socioeconomic classes. I hear about, you know, working class people talking about this. I hear about professional managerial class people talking about this. White people, not white people, men, women, young, old. And so everybody's wondering, well, what do they do? Because they can't get the they can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. They can't put the genie back in the lamp. So what's their play? And I think back to an article which was written by Cass Sunstein about 15 or 20 years ago. He was an Obama admin official. I believe he's from out of Harvard. And they said, so what are we to do about these conspiracy theorists and all the misinformation and disinformation on the internet? This is back in, I think, 2007. And they said, well, there's a few obvious strategies. We can debate the conspiracy theorists and try to prove them wrong and debunk them. We can censor the conspiracy theorists and deprive them of a platform so they can't spread their misinformation. They said, but both of these strategies kind of give opportunities to the conspiracy theorist. If you debate them, you're entertaining them and in a way legitimizing them and in another way giving them a platform. If you're censoring them, you're turning them into martyrs and you're almost proving them right. If you ban everybody for saying certain things, well, people are going to take a look at what those things are. They're going to say, why are those ideas or statements being censored? So they came up with a novel third option, which is to flood the zone with crap. And basically, they muddy the waters. And so they introduce all this other stuff where you have legitimate, I would say, conspiracy theories. And these are just ideas that powerful people have ulterior motives. They have a concealed agenda and they work together. That's not crazy. That's reality. And everybody knows that's the way the world works. Powerful people get together at Davos or they get together at Bilderberg or wherever, all these secret societies and political people, government people, media people, rich people, they get together and they work together for an agenda and they don't tell the public about it. And it's probably corrupt. We all know this is happening and we try to figure out where it's happening and the substance of that agenda. But then you have other people that come out and they posit that there is a grand conspiracy that somewhere underground, people are getting together and plotting out the whole future of the universe and the earth is flat and lizard people are real. And they will say just a lot of nonsense. And I do believe that this is actually the strategy, which is to inflame and create division within the movement, within the America First movement, within the Israel critical movement. In other words, people that are against the Israel First lobby, and to try to introduce a lot of nonsense to discredit, to divide. And they lay this out, actually. Heritage Foundation, which you mentioned earlier, they're the preeminent conservative think tank. They put out something called Project Esther a couple of years ago. And you can look this up. It's online. You can read through it. And what it says specifically is they want to create a public and private partnership between government and the private sector, nonprofits, to combat what they call anti-Semitism. They brand it as the Hamas Support Network. So anybody that doesn't want to go to war with Iran, anybody that doesn't want to genocide the kids in Gaza, anybody that doesn't want to give them all these missiles, they're branding them as the Hamas Support Network. You're all terrorists. And they say, how are we going to fight back against those that are criticizing Israel's policy? They say, well, we are going to create infighting within that scene. They said, we are going to exacerbate and inflame all of those cleavages that exist between the various factions that are criticizing Israel. And I think you're seeing that play out right now. And it's true that it is a broad group of people that are criticizing Israel's government and their regime and what they're doing from all different walks of life and from different reasons. But I've been saying on my show, it's important to differentiate who they are and who we are. For example, a guy like Max Blumenthal, he's on Tucker, he's on Judge Napolitano. And I like these shows. I watch these shows. It's a good source of alternative information. But Max Blumenthal is a leftist. I remember when Max Blumenthal was working for the SPLC and doing hit pieces on David Irving. That's who he is. The reason that he is against Israel, it's not because he's an America First right-wing patriot. It's because he's actually a super leftist, a super liberal, and he sees Israel as a staging ground for imperial capitalism. That's totally different. And so, in a sense, we're both against what Israel is doing, but for very different reasons. And so, for example, when these ICE protests broke out, when they investigated the fraud in Somalia and that woman was killed, Renee Good, people like you and I think all said she tried to run over an ICE agent. ICE is carrying out their lawful duties. There's 10 million illegals. They got to go out. Well, Max Blumenthal, the big Israel critic, he goes on Twitter and says, well, this is terrorist capitalism. When ICE deports illegals and shoots protesters to try to run them over, that's terror capitalism. Terror capitalism. And it's like, look, I'm not a communist. Okay, I'm critical of Israel because I don't like genocide and I'm America First. And that's, but I'm not a communist.
And that's sorry, what you're getting. Ahead. No, that's what you've been nailing is just because we don't like Israel trying to run the U.S. and the things it does, which is healthy as a zeitgeist to get over that and criticize it, to get over political correctness in general, doesn't mean we're allied with Islam, doesn't mean we're allied with the left, doesn't mean we're allied with all this garbage. And that's what they're trying to do right now. And I notice these classic liberals, leftists, by classic, I mean modern classic leftists, are like our leaders now, and they decide who's good. And now the left has articles praising MAGA that's turned against Trump and praising them for, you know, now doing this. And it's not like they're criticizing Trump to make him better. They're doing it to bring it down. And whereas you've been critical where Trump's really wrong, I've noticed, though, you've been a little more positive lately because you see him getting more hardcore.
Well, and that's a really important point that you just said. The far left, when they say pedo protector, when they attack him over Epstein, they don't care about Epstein. Biden was there for 4 years. They didn't care about Epstein then. They care about it now because they can create division within MAGA. And they want Trump to go down because they don't want deportations. It's not for any other reason. So it's important not to get it twisted. Fundamentally, we are a conservative, patriotic movement. And like you say, I criticize Trump because I want him to be the best, not because I want to bring it all down and have some left-wing progressive like Mamdani in power to socialize everything. You know, we have to remember to take our own side and our tribe and who is looking out for us is patriotic Americans that love the flag, that want borders, that want actually law and order, sensible policies, not these like Jewish communists that are screeching about terror capitalism, not people like Mamdani that say they want to tax white neighborhoods more to pay for everybody's benefits. That's not what we're about. So I think 26 is a year. We got to start drawing some lines and making some refinements.
Let's come back and talk more about this because this is the big future issue that's already here. And whereas we've been sitting back and watching this, they're now trying to police everything we're doing, trying to demonize us so they can make their move and take over the populist nationalist movement. We'll be right back with Nick Fuentes. Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get Ultra Methylene Red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
Just because your fire alarm goes off and you wake up at 3 a.m., you know there's a fire, you smell smoke, you don't know where it is or exactly what's happening. Well, Nick Fuentes and I have been awake a long time. Even though he's 26, he's been awake since, you know, he was 15, 16 years old, politically engaged before that. I've been politically awake for 40 years, and since I was about 12. And I really want civilization. I really want to succeed. I have a real sense of our ancestors, our current generations, and our future. And I see a lot of people that have just now woken up to the fact they're being lied to, but they don't have the depth of understanding about what America First means and why that's so important. And then all these factions coming in that claim they're patriots, but really aren't. It's really important to be able to differentiate that. Now, I want to finish up with this civil war inside MAGA that the left's trying to orchestrate, and the different factions that are there that are kind of using old Fisher lines from real intellectual battles that you had in the last decade that they've tried to exacerbate. And then I want to move on to, I've seen you warm to Trump because you are seeing him finally get more hardcore, or at least signal he's starting to go in the right direction. I want to elaborate on that. Nick Fuentes.
Yeah, I'm warming up a little bit to Trump in the past couple of weeks. I mean, some of the things he's been doing are positive. I still have a lot of the same apprehensions about the deportations in Iran. And, you know, we could get into that. But, you know, kind of picking up on where we left off before, you know, the thing is about when you wake up with regard to Israel and the red pill and all these things, I think what tends to happen with a lot of people is when you destroy the credibility of the mainstream media, when you destroy these narratives you believed in for your whole life, it's easy then to become completely disoriented. And then you don't, like you said before, you don't know where to look. You don't know what's going on, where the problem's coming from. And I think this is the experience of a lot of the of people in the past couple of years. People have started to wake up. They've gotten red-pilled in 2024, 2025 recently. And I said this on Telegram. This is kind of like a subtle thing that I hope maybe your viewers can kind of understand if you'll stay with me here a little bit. A lot of people that have gotten very engaged in politics and on this issue in the past couple of years, they're not actually political people. They're not actually conventionally political people. They're not interested in political issues necessarily. I call them disgruntled normies. And so there are a lot of people that didn't really pay attention, but something has been happening lately, and this is maybe a bit suspicious, which is that all of a sudden, our timelines on Instagram and Twitter and everywhere, TikTok even, it's filled with this kind of content, conspiracy content, Israel critical content, that sort of thing. And the reason I say that it's a little bit suspicious, of course, I benefited from it, profited from it, from an ideological point of view, from a monetary point of view. I'm happy about it. It's the kind of content that I post, and it's the kind of ideas that I promote. But as we know, for 10 years, it was the complete opposite. If anyone even hinted at those sorts of things, they were immediately eradicated. And so much effort went into this. AI algorithms and moderation teams, and the rules kept getting more and more convoluted. Now, all of a sudden, it's everywhere and it's on all the platforms for everybody. And you could be on Instagram for 5 minutes and then you're getting a clip about how Israel did 9/11. You're getting a clip and it's an AI translated Hitler speech. And so it's sort of a mystery why that happened and what was the driving force behind it. Nevertheless, it happened. And so suddenly all these new people have been drafted into the ranks, let's say, of truth tellers, red pillars, and it's great. You know, the more the merrier, welcome in. Here's the issue, though, with the disgruntled normie. Many of the disgruntled normies are still very left-leaning. They still have many of what you would call their ideological priors. And by that, I mean their kind of foundational ideas about morality and the world and how it works. And so they're basically still a left-leaning normie, like a center-left normie that doesn't know that much about politics. They didn't go through a libertarian phase. They didn't go through a conservative phase. They kind of started as a Redditor, and now they have these facts, armed with some of these facts. And as I've said on my show, I think this makes people vulnerable to ideological capture by other groups. And I think about communists, which I mentioned earlier, and I also think about Muslims, too. Because as we talked about before the break, everybody's criticizing Israel because the genocide is appalling. Everybody does not want to get into another war in the Middle East. But of course, all these different ideological groups have different reasons for opposing it. And so we talked about communists. How about Muslims? What is the reason that Muslims are against Israel, don't want America to intervene, are against the genocide? Well, it's because they have some kinship with the Palestinians, either ethnic or religious. They have some kinship with those people. And that's not really quite the same. Because me, I'm born in America. I'm not a Muslim. I don't have any Arab DNA. I don't really care about those issues because it's close to home or close to my heart. I care about these issues because of America, because America's getting involved in something that isn't good for America. It's not really quite the same with these other groups. And so I see these people on Telegram, on Twitter every day, and There's a very fine line between saying these wars are bad for America because they're unnecessary and people that are saying these wars are evil colonialist wars and America is evil and America spreading terrorism. And you get a lot of the latter with many of these very organized Muslim influencers on the internet who are saying that America is evil, Israel's evil, and America's evil too. And some will even say, by the way, that Israel is an extension of America and that America is the real problem. America is a crusader state. And so I see some Muslim influencers, they say, we need to restrain America technologically. We need America to take a hit. We need them to get knocked down a peg because they're responsible for all the problems in the world. And you go, wait a second. So you're not rooting for America. You don't want what's best for America. You're angry at America. You're angry at America because your people were being bombed. You came here as a refugee or something. And I'm sorry. I don't care what mistakes America has made. I'm never going to hate America. It's my country. I love America. I'm proud of America. And so this is where patriots need to kind of, as I said before, differentiate and start to distinguish and say, we are America first. I am not a third worldist, anti-colonial, anti-imperialist, anti-Western, peoples of the world unite, whatever. No, I'm America first, and I want whatever is best for America, even if that means, by the way, certain interventions like in Venezuela. And I'm not rooting for America to fall because we did
that. I want to get to that in great detail because you have a good, really good analysis of that. We'll look at it, but just going back to this for a moment. Just because we don't want Israel running our country and censoring us and controlling us doesn't mean then we hook the caboose of Islam and Soros and the left and all their garbage and Mondami onto it. And that's what they're trying to do is a sleight of hand. And then when you point that out, now they've successfully captured so many new people that woke up that they go, oh, Nick works for Israel because he doesn't want to open the doors to Islam. And it's like, no, you've said that Israel certainly uses Islam in the West as a distraction, but still, at the end of the day, Islam does want to take over. So it's being honest about there are multiple groups, multiple things to deal with and understand. But if you pull back to all of this, I know where it's going. Look at Australia. You got these Muslims. They shoot a bunch of people there at the beach, Bondi Beach. And then the government comes out and says white supremacy is the main threat. And we're going to pass these anti-Semitism law. It's called the anti-Semitism law. And I've got the law here. It's like 70 pages long. It lets them arrest you because you might say something. You can't criticize anything. The government can say anything they want is illegal. They can ban any group. And it is a literal iron curtain beyond the Soviet Union. And that's the ADL branch that wrote that. The same stuff in Europe, same thing in the UK that they want here, the same thing being passed in Canada. So we know they're going to push all this and they're going to let all the craziness go online. And I'm not saying censor it, but literally they promote and push the most crazy, ridiculous, made up stuff. So a lot of people that are smart go, well, none of this is true because it's just so ridiculous. But also the mentally ill then are going to go out and attack. So you don't have to go stage a false flag yourself. You just create the environment and the atmosphere like the Kingsman where the cell phone sends the signal. Well, the message is the signal. And then when that happens, now we come in with the mass censorship and control. And that's what they're planning. That's what they're doing. And also, if you've got you and a few others getting huge audiences, legitimately ending these taboos is very healthy, regardless what you think of it. If Nick's totally right or partially right or whatever, it's good to end these taboos that control us all. That's the cult. You culture jam the whole thing with just such a background of ridiculous crap that then the serious arguments get lost in it. And so that's where we're at. And so there's no doubt that's happening. The question is, are these people involved in it? We all know their names. Are they doing it consciously? Or are they just kind of following the algorithm, knowing if they do this, it gets boosted? Because you still get, because I've looked at it, we get suppressed everywhere where we're even allowed to operate, X, you name it. You do. You have almost no bots. Anybody's got some bots doing stuff. You look at a Candace Owens. I mean, we've had internet groups look at it. It's like 80% bot. She's, literally on my phone. I'm not on YouTube. I'm not on these things. It's pushed to me. Everybody I know, she is pushed by the system. She never gets in trouble at YouTube, never gets in trouble on Instagram. So you know when someone's never been censored, never been deplatformed, never been debanked, never put on a no-fly list, never had somebody come to your house to kill you, like Nick has, and I never talked about my stuff. It's private. I just sit here, everybody saying, I'm the establishment because I've survived this long when I'm barely doing it. And then I see this person riding around like a royalty, literally married to royalty, with a bot farm husband behind her. And then it's just obvious what's going on. Nick Fuentes.
Well, I don't think that I don't think they're necessarily being controlled. I mean, you never know. But I think that a lot of it is just like you said, they're chasing the algorithm. And I think a lot of them are just have a reckless disregard for the truth. And as I said, I don't think they have any kind of ideological foundation. It's people that got red-pilled a few minutes ago, and they don't know what's up and down, and they don't know what's going on. And then these are people that are just getting, it's only in one direction, more extreme, more crazy, more out there, more far-fetched. With Candace, I don't even think it's bots. I think that maybe people just underestimate how many dumb people there are in the world that have an appetite for this crap. People that want to hear about, time travelers and aliens and, everybody secretly transgender at the highest levels. There is a huge appetite. And let's be honest, the right wing has cultivated that. Over the years, the right wing has cultivated this audience of people that it's the QAnon stuff. It's this crazy conspiracy stuff. And there are no guardrails. And now, well, the lunatics are quite literally running the asylum. Like the biggest, dumbest lunatic is running the asylum with all the idiots gathered every day for the latest conspiracy. And like with this Charlie Kirk thing I said on my show the other night, it just keeps getting bigger. It starts out with a conspiracy that maybe someone at Turning Point embezzled $1 million and they took him out to hide it. Then it turns into, well, Israel killed him because he was going to go against Israel. Then it's, no, Israel and France and FBI killed him because he was going to do something to change global politics. Now it's the space-time continuum is at stake. He could see the future. He was going to alter outcomes in the future. They had to protect the integrity of the multiverse. And I don't know. I mean, are people still buying this stuff? But I could tell you one thing. The reason that she's on YouTube when you and I are banned. And remember, you and I both made new channels. When they announced their policy to let everybody back on, you and I both made new channels. We were banned within 24 hours. She is monetized. She is on that platform, monetized, never got banned, nothing on Twitter with a check mark. I can't get a check mark over there. And I don't think there's ever been an interruption in service for her. And the reason being is because they prefer somebody like that. They prefer somebody that is totally outlandish, that can be discredited, that sounds crazy over somebody that actually has an ideological. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I totally agree. Well, here's my deal. I always have the corporate media lie about what I said and build a straw man that I did. Or make a gay frog joke, but I did a whole hour with scientists about the chemical and what it does. They ignore all that, but the one joke at the end. So they take your little edgelord thing, and then when you later said I'm joking, sorry, they cut that part off. They know what they're doing. That's what the listeners know what we're actually saying versus what's going on. But my listeners are like, look at the Egyptian planes, look to it, fake. And then, okay, this Mitch thing, look him up, obvious con artist, all this stuff's pure crap. I just say, hey, I think you're being set up. I get attacked. Then he has this whole story about his wife breaking his arms and feet and everything with a hammer and on this date. And he's arrested. He's convicted. Videos released of him doing to her what he said she did on the date, everything. And they said, well, we don't care if he did that. Proof he wasn't at Fort Huachuca. I'm like, I'm not denying he was at this magical fort. These people all gave alibis. Well, we don't believe those alibis, even though on C-SPAN, when this is going on, the congressman. And I reached out and I talked to Turning Point USA. They wanted my advice. I knew they were going out to meet her. They gave her all this info, said, please stop. And she doubled down and had Mitch on, to say, by the way, I saw, Erica Kirk there at Huachuca. And then she released her alibi with timestamp geolocated photos. Not good enough. And it was like, she's God. You got to bow to her. The arrogance of this. And then I said, okay, that's enough. And then it came out his ex-wife, or if they're still married, she'll never show up to court, literally sends the footage of the day he's arrested, convicted for menacing with a hammer, him beating things, attacking, breaking doors, coming after her in front of the kid, doing what he wouldn't let her leave. She told these shows that she wouldn't let him leave. And they're like, look, he's a total. They go, we don't care. Her own people said, a prominent host said, Jones is Mossad. Listen, we don't care what Mitch Snow did. We have to listen to him. Turn on his military record where he broke his back. None of that's true. And then it came out. He said in early December, I am the son of the Zodiac Killer, and did shows about it and everything. Then when that comes out, they go, oh, they've hacked his account. Alex Jones has done it. And later they go, no, actually, he did interviews about it. They go, well, maybe he is the son of the Zodiac Killer. Plus, he's got the DNA. No one knows who it is. No one has his DNA. But don't worry. Bitch has got his DNA. I mean, it's the classic disinfo to bring him in and then have him say he's Santa Claus to discredit it all. I don't see this being done accidentally. The fact that she fished him out and the fact that she went after RFK Jr. during his confirmation with Mossad and this woman in this car with no proof. And it was hard pushed to everybody's phones. And of course, none of it was true. I mean, so I see something there more sinister, Nick. I really do.
I think it's certainly possible. And, you know, she's at a level where it would be hard to believe that somebody isn't in her ear, especially the stuff with like Brigitte Macron. That doesn't seem random to me. A lot of the things that are coming across her desk, it doesn't seem like that accidentally made its way into her inbox. A lot of that stuff seems like it's, you know, being promoted in some way. So I think you're right about that. I think your hunch is 100% on the money. But it's really been spectacular to see. At one point, I wanted to say, I think she needs to stop. She's damaging the movement. This is really hurting everybody. Now, I almost want her to keep going because I think she's sort of isolating herself. And now she's only damaging herself. I mean, in 2025, she had the rule of the roost. And I thought what she was doing was really irresponsible. I thought it was kind of hurting everybody that ever associated with her or sounds like her. After her show the other day where she said, I'm an alien and Charlie Kirk is a time traveler and he had Sumerian remote viewing technology. I think now everybody is just saying, OK, so this is just a crazy psychopath. You know, this is somebody that has, you know, no clue what she's talking about. So now I kind of want to see it keep going because at a certain point, you have to hope, like you maybe out of faith in humanity, you have to hope that eventually people are going to see this. Like
sure.
The Egyptian plane thing, it was talked about in, what is it, 25 different shows she did. It's all fake. She literally just got it all wrong. And the guy did a great YouTube video about it. She comes out and says, well, I'm going to put out an interactive map and I'm going to put it up on my website because we have this. And she just never posted it. And then it's on to the next thing. It was on to the next big diversion, the Mitch thing. Now it's the time traveling. And you go, at what point do people just look at the logical gaps here, the plot holes?
By the way, I apologize because I feel like, have you ever gone to like a county fair and you eat the cotton candy and then you're vomiting in the parking lot an hour later? I mean, with her, I went and looked at it because listeners wanted me to. And I was shocked. I feel sick looking at it. I haven't looked at her in about a week other than her attacking you. What's going on with the time traveling?
So she did a show and she said that the CIA through Project Looking Glass has access to ancient Sumerian remote viewing technology. She says that Charlie was identified as a gifted child by some sort of shadowy occult force early on, groomed his entire life since he was a little boy to be the head of Turning Point USA. He somehow gained possession over the technology, saw his death in the future and how it would alter the space-time continuum. And so, as I said, you know, one time this was a story about Turning Point USA. Now Charlie Kirk is a pivotal figure in the multiverse and the space-time continuum. It's a conspiracy concerning.
Just to be clear, I can confirm this. I saw Jay Dyer yesterday with a post about this. And he does satire sometimes. I thought it was a joke. Wow. And again, that's premeditated. She's going for the total lunatic faction. I mean, she is doubling down. Here it is. Charlie Kirk was a time traveler, and then he had agents, yes, like the Matrix, monitoring him from childhood. Wow.
I couldn't believe it either. I read the caption. I had to watch the video. I said, there's no way she actually said the words, but there it is. I'm an alien. He's a time traveler. You know, what is the limit?
By the way, we'll come back and play that next hour, but let's get Nick Fuentes to the next level. And what that means is he's saying, oh, my God, he's got this Hitler lover. It's a joke, folks. He even says that on the shows. You have to get past being politically correct, okay? That's why black folks saying, kill Whitey, great, enjoy yourself. We just need to get used to not caring and not letting them politically make us correct. Like, you know, get back to the great, comedy stuff that Mel Brooks would put out, like Blazing Saddles. I mean, the left wants that movie banned. Let's just get over it and let's get this stuff on the table and stop it. And that's how I think we move forward as a culture. Not letting the left can manipulate us. But you're with Bigley now. With your great stuff, and they've had dozens of clients over the years that did great. And I'm obviously their biggest. Let's just leave it at that. But I told them, I said, you got to get Nick on board because, you know, I guarantee you he's going to be really successful. We need to crank Nick up so that hopefully he can expand and get reporters and do something next level, even if that doesn't what Nick wants to do right now. Maybe he's going to want to do that because I'm going to put it in his ear. And so they're like, ooh, this is very successful. So I'm glad you've got a good company in America printing your stuff, getting it out on time, doing a great job. And they tell me that your stuff is flying off the charts, especially the white boy, you know what. So let's do a little plug for you. You're used to doing this on air. You didn't ask me to do this. I'm doing it. How do people go get all the great Nick Fuentes merch?
Well, it's at Fuentes.store. And yeah, we got a great new partner. We had a lot of issues with some of our supply chains. You know, we're making these hats and we're making shirts. And it's so difficult, especially with the payment issues we've been having. But these guys have been great. So I appreciate if you put in a word for us. But yeah, Fuentes.store, we got a lot of great merch up there. And we're looking at doing some new stuff too, some like consumable type stuff. So we're pretty excited about it. And yeah, we got these. I don't know if I could say, he told me during the break, word I can't say, so I can't say the acronym.
No, go ahead. We got and say the Wang. No, we don't mean it meanly. Well, it's a white boy, you know, go ahead.
Well, not quite. I don't like white boy. I don't like when people say white boy, but it's more like white something, like another term of endearment, you might say.
The reason I'm asking you to say it is I heard it and I saw it in the shirt, but I can't remember.
That's what it is, okay?
I think black folks, white folks love that. I see all these black folks saying, we love you, white people. We're sick of the illegals, too. You're our niggas, too. I think we all just need to be friends, right?
They do. They love it. And it's funny because I have a clip from my show where I say, Wang half, and black people post edits of themselves on Instagram to the audio. So everybody loves it. And it's a message, like you said, we're not politically correct. You know, we are out there and white people, you know, we have space in the country too. You know, we have to start sticking up for ourselves. And I think black people, well, everybody respects that.
Like you said, I'll give it to black people. They respect that, actually.
They do.
What's some funny of them is do. The some average black person is actually the most politically incorrect person ever.
That's true. Yeah, they're not, you know, they're not used to that. White people have kind of been cowed and shamed and bullied. Black people are going hard because there's no rules for them already. So they're just kind of like, hey, welcome to the club.
Yeah. Now let me do a plug because I need funds. I'm fighting the Democrats. Our civil rights suit will be filed imminently. We've had a lot of good stuff to it. And we are winning here, but we can only do it because of you. Go to thealexshowstore.com, also powered by Big Lee. All of our great T-shirts, Patriot apparel. And today is a lot of new products. A big sale's about to end. The ultramethylene blue, all of it is game changing. I'm only going to sell you stuff. Yeah, war cry smelling salts. I didn't know how hot this is to make you think, get your brain boosted before you work out, whatever. I didn't know this was all crazy. We got the best smelling salts ever. War cry. The only problem with this product is there's no planned obsolescence. This thing will probably last 10 years. So you buy one bottle, you're done forever. Get your war cry at thealexshowstore.com. We'll be back with Nick Fuentes.
They've sold out to it. They're blind. They're cowards. You don't want to be part of them. Like Patrick Henry says, forget you are our brethren. Go from us in peace. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. Let your chains sit lightly upon you. As for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The truth is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.